If you have your Bibles, turn with me to, see how I want to start this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, first off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The way this came about, I don't watch television, and I, you know, if I have free time, I'll sit down with the computer and just pull up YouTube and either listen to preaching or listen to music. And I could say I just stumbled on this song by Casting Crowns While You Were Sleeping. But as soon as I saw that, I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And I believe this was an inspired writing. And I've been thinking about that ever since. This has been for a few days. I've been thinking about this while you were sleeping. And it really concerns me that the church is sleeping as a whole. And, you know, if you think about it, when Jesus came to earth, very few people knew he came to earth. Several people knew that Mary had a baby. Now, what makes this so interesting is that the status quo religion was looking for the Messiah. They were preaching and teaching about the Messiah. But when the Messiah came, very few people knew he came. Amazing, isn't it? Sleeping. All sleeping's not physical sleeping, but they're spiritual sleeping, just numb in the spirit, just insensitive to what's going on. And I thought about this, how, you know, Joseph and Mary made their journey to Bethlehem. And obviously because of the census that was occurring, the hotels were full. No vacancies. So they did what they could to find a place for Jesus to come to earth. Now I wonder if the whatever was called, either the governor of the city, the mayor of the city, the king of the city, whatever the case is, had he known the event, would there have been somewhere nice for Jesus to have stayed? Interesting, isn't it? And so we're told of an event. Just as surely as they were told he was coming the first time, we're told that he's coming a second time. But will we be like they were? Will we be sleeping? Will we be oblivious of the fact that God's come to earth again? Something to think about. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly," excuse me, "for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of the light, the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, note this, just because you're born again doesn't mean that you can't be caught sleeping. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who are drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. In other words, let's be very alert, watchful, that we don't get caught unaware. Okay? In Matthew chapter 5, and if we look at, pardon me, not 5, 23, Matthew chapter 23, and looking at verses 37, we'll begin reading with 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus doing the speaking. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. My concern is for the church. It's in a, and I'm talking about as a whole, not all churches, but as a whole, that the universal church is sleeping. It's in the stupor to where it's more of an entertaining type thing. It's more social than spiritual. And consequently, the church as a whole is numb to the things of the Spirit. God is Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. Jesus is coming back as Spirit. He came the first time in the flesh. He's not coming back the second time as flesh. He's coming back as a Spirit. And it's only those who are spiritually alert that are going to know that He's come. You think about the time that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the time that night when Mary gave birth to Jesus, how many people knew Jesus was there? How many people knew that God had actually stepped into the world? How many of them realized the Savior has come? Sobering, isn't it? I mean, really, it's something to think about. But that was then. Does history repeat itself? That's what concerns me, because generally speaking, history repeats itself. People don't learn. The people who are so active in the religious arena, and, I mean, the faithful ones to the social club, if you will, those are the ones that will repeat history, not understanding how the Lord's coming, when the Lord's coming. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, it'll be like a thief in the night. Isn't that how he came to begin with? Not someone blowing the trumpets and sounding, Jesus is coming, hey, everybody in town, let's have a parade, because the Messiah that we've been waiting for all these years has come. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, when Jesus makes his ascension back into heaven, how many people were there? Think about it. Above, it says about 500, a little more than 500 people had witnessed Jesus after his resurrection, okay? you would think that everybody in town would turn out. But I'll assure you that the population was more than 500. And yet he goes back into heaven from where he came, observed by only a few. And he said to them, or the angels that when he went up, that were standing there, they said, he's coming back in the same manner. The key is, he's coming back. Now think of this in light of communion. You know, when we partake of communion, what is it saying? It has a message that it's conveying. Here's the message. You are illustrating the Lord has died. You show his death, and then the second part, until he comes. But how often is communion served in churches all over the world, and people are basically numb to the reality of what's being done or said? It's just going through the motions. It's just fulfilling an ordinance. The church has ordinances, but are they spiritually aware of the King of Kings? Are they aware of why those ordinances were even put into place? And it's just become form. The ordinances are just form. Even from water baptism to communion, the various things we do, it's just form. And yet there's a reality to it. But how many people truly understand what occurs when they're baptized? What is the whole purpose of this? Is it just for show? Or is it a witness to the inward man on the inside of you? It's a testimony of what has occurred on the inside. The same way with communion. When we partake of communion, I'm testifying Jesus has come, he died, he shed his blood for me, and I know he's coming again. And so, actually, it's the communion then is an anticipation for the return of the Lord. Don't answer this, but be honest with you. How many are really, truly anticipating the coming of the Lord? See, all the Jews would have said, boy, we're anticipating the coming, but they weren't. They were caught up in the routine of life. Now, that's what concerns me about people today, is they're so caught up in the routine of life, they can say, well, I'm expecting Jesus, I'm anticipating Jesus coming and all that. But the bottom line is, no, you aren't. If he's just on your mind on occasion, you aren't anticipating his coming. If he's an add-on, you aren't anticipating his coming. I'll tell you how you know when he's first and foremost in your life. That Jesus is the priority of your life. You know, I've been looking at Christmas songs because of the Christmas season and all this, and trying to find some appropriate songs, you know, to play in the services. And it's been interesting, you know, just to look at the lyrics and how people think, how writers write. And a person will tell you a lot about where they're living, what captivates their mind by what they write, by what comes out of them. And for the most part, it's just a time that we can all get a couple days off from work or whatever, and we can just party hardy and have the family in, and this is the life. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And I'm not against bringing the family in. I'll assure you that's what we do. That's what we do every year. That's what we do at Thanksgiving. That's what we do at Christmas. We have them in, but not to put Jesus out. It's my routine that when we gather together and before any gifts are open, we sit down and read the Bible. That's my opportunity. It's yours. And we read about what Christmas is about. The person Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. Every Christmas, I'm reminded that Jesus came to earth. God came to earth as a man. And earth didn't know it. You look at John chapter 1 where he talks about the Word became flesh. He says that he was in the world and the world was made by him. The world didn't know him. He came to his own people. And they didn't receive him. But some did. And to the ones that received him, he gave them the privilege of becoming children of God. What a privilege we have. But let's be consciously aware of who Jesus is and what this is all about. This is not religion, people. And I know that we, you know, you have to do all these things as a church and all that as a religious organization, but we're doing that in name. As far as the state goes, we're a religious organization, but as far as my heart goes, we're anything but that. We are real people serving a real God. It's not a form. This is a lifestyle. This is a living organism we're talking about. It's not just something where you go through the motions. You with me? Let's not get caught sleeping. But let's be awake. Let's be sober. Let's be alert in our minds to where we are aware of what's going on. No one knows the day the Lord's coming. They didn't know the day he was coming to be to earth to be a man. You understand? No one knew that day. Yet, religion talked about that day. They talked about the Messiah. Even the Samaritan woman there at the well, she knew about the Messiah. She just didn't recognize the Messiah until he said, "I am he." You understand? Then they have to make a determination. And it's no different today. And I don't want us to be caught sleeping on watch. You with me? You can set all the watchmen on the walls that you want to. But if the watchmen aren't alert, if the watchmen aren't awake, the enemy will penetrate the perimeter. And that's what's happened. There's a lot of watchmen. There's a lot of people at the voice, supposed to be the voice of God to the church and all that. But they're sleeping on the wall and the enemy's coming in and they're oblivious of the enemy entering in. And you know what happens? It destroys the people. The people are the victims. So we have to get the message out. Stay awake. It's not a time to be sleeping. Stay awake. Well, how do I stay awake? By keeping myself in tune with the Word and Spirit of God. It's a constant thing. It's a daily thing. To where you're talking to God on a daily basis, to where you're subjecting yourself to the Scriptures on a daily basis, to where He captivates your thinking. You see, there are so many other things to take you away. Even the Christmas season of what it should be to a Christian, Christ, you understand? There's so many things that have been incorporated into it by the world that it just takes people away from Christ. And if Christmas would happen to fall on a Sunday, you don't go to church. Something's wrong with the picture, isn't it? Sleeping. Lulled to sleep by the pleasures of life. Cares of the world. Deceitfulness of riches. Desire for other things. Let's just put people to sleep. The church is asleep, but they're walking around. They just don't know they're sleepwalking. You know what that means? Sleepwalking means you're not in touch with reality. And that's where people are today, professing Christians, walking around not in touch with reality. The reality of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Oh, I know He's the Son of God. I know He's the Redeemer of mankind. He's also the Judge of the earth that I will stand before one day. And what will I hear Him say? That should sober you. If I were to go before Him right now, what would He say? Well done? Or why didn't you? You don't get a second chance. This is it. This is the live performance, if you will. Do you understand? The curtain's up, and this the play is being played out before you. What are we going to do with the opportunity God's given us? And are we mindful of who we represent and that He is coming back? And I don't want to be caught sleeping when He returns. Even if my eyes are closed, I want to be spiritually awake. You know, I've learned some things through the year, and it actually started, I guess, in Vietnam when I became very aware. As I would know, I would be asleep. But if you came near me, I would know you were there. What is that? It's the Spirit's awake. The Spirit's on alert. The Spirit is watching. Our spirits need to be awake, alert, watching, anticipating the return of the Lord to where we recognize Him. It won't be in a stable this time. You understand? Well, we're going to meet Him in the air above all this stuff. That's Spirit. And a lot of people still have their mindset on Jesus as natural. Even when you talk about a Savior, a Redeemer, and all this, everything's natural. Even the cross, you know, everything is viewed as natural. Not realizing that it was all spiritual. It was just revealed before natural eyes. But it was a spiritual victory. What looked to be a natural defeat was a spiritual victory. Amazing, isn't it? Let's not get caught sleeping. Let's be awake. Now, I could go so many different directions with this, and that's been the quandary that I've been in this morning is, you know, which way to go. But let's just look at it this way. Now, we know the Lord's coming again, literally, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay. But do you know that the Lord shows up every day? Do you know the Lord's here this morning? But are you aware of the Lord? See, a lot of people are just asleep. They go through the motions of a church service. They just hear a preacher preach and never make contact with the Spirit of God. They just hear a man talking, not the Lord talking to them. Spiritual slumber. The Lord wants us awake. That He's here every time we gather together. Where two or three are gathered in His name. He said He's in the midst, right? So He's there. Why is He there? Just to eavesdrop? Or could He possibly be there to reveal Himself? If we just be alert. I believe the Lord will manifest Himself if we just be alert. Be alert. Be spiritually alert. Let's stop looking at church services as something natural. And see, this is where the church has been lulled to sleep as a whole. It's become an entertainment center. What can you do for me and my family? What can you offer us? And we go to the highest bidder. The church that runs the most attendance in a city will be the one that offers the most activities that are appealing. We'll either have a super duper music department or super duper youth department. It will be something of this nature. In other words, we have our drawing cards. And we say stuff. We'll say religious stuff. You understand? We'll even talk about Jesus. But in a natural setting, we can raise our hands, we can worship, and we can dance, and we can do all these type things, but most of it is natural. Asleep spiritually. While you're going through the motions naturally, not really aware of the Spirit. And from time to time, I just say, Lord, what's wrong with me? I'm not bearing witness to everybody around here. They're doing all this and they're doing all that, and yet it's not moving me inside. What's the deal? You see, if people are either moved intellectually or emotionally. Very few are in tune to the Spirit to where they're moved by the Spirit. And if we're not in tune to the Spirit, we're going to be asleep to spiritual things. You can enjoy missing God. The body is having fun. And the Spirit is asleep to what's going on. Wake up. Wake up. That's when the enemy sows his seed, while we're asleep. And when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, "You're children of the day. Don't be asleep. Stay awake." If the children of the day do not consciously put forth the effort to stay awake, you'll find yourself dozing off to the things of religion and the world. It'll attract you. And when those things start attracting you, you'll start becoming insensitive to the Spirit. Let's stay awake. Let's be alert. Let's not repeat history. To where it's said of us, God came to earth and we didn't even know it. Because we were asleep. Lord, wake us up. See, that's done not by the initiation of God per se. I mean, I know God deals with our hearts. but by our putting forth the effort to respond to God dealing to our hearts. How many times have we done things that we knew were taking us away from God, yet we did it anyway because it was appealing and it affects you spiritually? Every time you do that, you become more insensitive to the reality of the time, to the reality of what God's wanting to do in your life as well as in the lives of others. And if I'm doing this and just out here in the natural, I'm not being any good spiritually. I've heard it said, don't be so spiritually minded, you know earthly good. But the truth is, I've never seen that person that was that spiritually minded. I've seen some who thought they were. But I believe the more spiritually minded you become, the more effective you'll be in earth, the more good you'll do in earth. Jesus walked in the Spirit. We're told to be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you will not be sleeping, because the Spirit doesn't slumber or sleep. But you can become anesthetized by the things of the world, to where you're not even in tune with what's going on in the Spirit. Bethlehem didn't know when Jesus came. Do we? I could say America. That concerns me. This nation concerns me. I pray for this nation every day. But what really concerns me is the church. Because the church is the agent that God has chosen to influence the nation. If the church is asleep, the nation will go to sleep. That's why we're in the situation we're in today. We've been sleeping. It's time to wake up. Amen. If I had a trumpet and knew how to blow it, I'd wake you up. But the only way I know to do it is with the word. Wake up. Amen. That's the message. Don't let it be said of you, Jesus came while they were sleeping. Now think of the virgins, the 10 virgins. They were all virgins. You understand that? They were all virgins. 5 of them were prepared. 5 of them just taking it a day at a time. Can't afford to take it a day at a time. It needs to be an anticipation. You don't know when He's coming. So let's stay prepared. Let's keep our hearts prepared for the Lord. Not just the physical return, but let's keep our hearts prepared for the Lord coming at any moment manifesting Himself. Let's keep our hearts prepared to where we recognize the Lord at all times. Amen. Okay. That's the message.